Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
So people will be happy to know that Sheldon is in the building. They are so happy to have you back because people have been asking, so where's Sheldon? What's your fans?
For real?
For real?
You mean like my two fans?
you would think they're two until you leave.
Oh, really?
And then they emerge.
Oh, at least someone's missed me.
And then they badger us and they're asking, where's Sheldon? Where's Sheldon? So Sheldon is here. And Sheldon, we're speaking about freedom.
Yeah, so today is a very special day. Today is the 24th of October. So the United Nations Charter was put into effect today, 79 years ago. And the whole idea behind, and I think what's so pertinent about the day is that it basically started off the United Nations. It was like the UN Charter are the regulations that would lay the foundation for what the United Nations would become. So like this organization that would look out for people's human rights and try and protect the rights of the downtrodden and religious rights and racial rights and all of these things. And the interesting thing that I discovered was that the name the United Nations was an informal name that was used during the Second World War for the allied countries. So China, the US, France, the UK, and the Soviet Union, those five countries which are considered to be the core of the United Nations were informally known as the United Nations before the United Nations came into existence. And so when they started talking about putting this charter together, where they were going to protect people's world rights, etc., they decided they were going to call it the United Nations. What's interesting is that because Russia was one of the allied powers at the time, they are still one of the core members of the United Nations, even though they've been up to shenanigans. And what I thought was so pertinent is that reflecting, I would just watch this documentary called The Tattooist of Auschwitz. 60 million people died in the Second World War. 45 million of those people were civilians. 50 countries around the world were involved in this whole thing. And you think we would have learned something from this. And 79 years later, look at where we're at with two world wars possibly brewing. One in the Ukraine and one in the Middle East. And it's just like, did we not learn anything from this? And so I thought with this anniversary, it would be interesting to reflect on songs about freedom. You've been to the United Nations.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, so it's quite a thing. Anyway, so the first song, Mary J. Blige, is one of my all-time favorite artist. That voice, and the one thing she's brilliant at is like just like her turn of phrase and the way she interprets songs. This song, when I heard it for the first time, I just started crying because I was like, oh my goodness, this song. So the lyrics, the chorus lyrics in it, she says, each tear there's a lesson. Makes you wiser than before, makes you stronger than you know. Each tear brings you closer to your dreams. No mistake, no heartache can take away what you're meant to be. And it's almost like a song where she's writing to a child.
Yeah.
And saying, you know what? We have to go through pain in order to achieve our greatness. And it brings me to another point which I've been reflecting on recently, which is about this whole thing about this allure of perfectionism, where people are always like, you know, everything needs to be perfect. And it's such a false narrative. Like, there is no such thing as perfection. And in order to be able to achieve greatness, you need to fail. You have to fail in order to be able to go, oh, okay, well, I did this wrong. So in order to get better, I've got to re-evaluate what I do in order to attain greatness. Because creativity dies in an environment where there's perfectionism, where everything's perfect and sanitized.
Let's talk a little bit about the artist Mary J. Blige,
yeah.
whose music and her voice, for instance, is rusty, mm-hmm. rustic, and isn't just that type of voice also so important in being so, I suppose one would say she's so accessible.
Yeah.
She is, people can identify with her and her, obviously her story.
Yeah.
And so when someone sings a song like this, it almost hits home.
Yeah.
You know, it feels authentic. It feels like she really means it. And so it lands better.
It does. I think if it was like a flawless voice.
Yes, exactly.
It would be like, are we supposed to believe you?
Another one.
Yeah. Almost like Eminem in his later career complaining about not having money. It's like, bro, we know you've got money. Mm. You know, like, what are you rapping about? You know? So it's... That's the beauty of Mary J. Blige, and that's what she brings to the party, is this
authentic
diva. You know, like Mariah Carey would be like the antithesis of that. Whereas what Mary J. Blige has had a very flawed life, and she's been very open about it.
Yeah.
And she talks about, you know, the rapes and the abuse and the all of that stuff. She even highlights like scars on her face on album covers. Mm. She's like, she's not hiding anything. Mm. This is who she is, and almost like that rawness of her life is featured in the voice, and that I find to be what makes Mary J. Blige such a embraceable character.
Many people remember this.
Sometimes
movie,
I did
right?
the same.
Politically, it's we remember that. It's it was quoted in Parliament.
So Kendrick Lamar is one of my all-time favorite rappers. He's almost prophetic in the way that he raps and the stories that he tells. And he's so refreshing, actually, compared to some of the current rappers, his contemporaries, which I find a bit the music is a bit stark and lifeless, whereas with Kendrick Lamar the production work is so brilliant and the way that he pieces the music together. So this is a 2015 song from one of the most brilliant albums in history called To Pimp a Butterfly, and the album was nominated in 2016 for 11 Grammy Awards, which was a record at the time, and it landed up winning 5 Grammy Awards, with this song winning 2 Grammys. What is brilliant about this song is the message, although the sound of the music sounds very dark, the message is very uplifting. Mm. It's like, although we are going
through... We'll be fine.
Everything's going to be cool.
We'll be fine.
And actually, he was inspired when he came to visit South Africa to write this song, because he was like, "Oh, there's this big disparity between what's happening in the suburbs in this country and what's happening elsewhere in this country, and there's this huge like rift and people are struggling." But I think the message that he was trying to say is like, no matter how bad it is, there's hope, and everything will be all right in the end. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an important message to communicate. Interestingly enough, the backing vocals on the song are by Pharrell Williams, mm-hmm. who is one of the producers on the track. So I found that to be quite an interesting thing. And the song starts off with a line from The Color Purple by a character called Alice Walker, which said, "All's my life I've had to fight."
Yes.
And throughout To Pimp a Butterfly, this Alice Walker character repeats throughout the entire album. So she's an important character in the album and obviously in the movie. What I find interesting between the first and the second song is that they're both talking about like success through adversity, you know, like that, yes, there are not, I mean, you know, life's not always going
perfect
to be breezy,
easy.
But if you persevere and if you push through and if you do the work, and I think that's the big thing, is that some people just don't do the work. They don't do the heiswerk.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay attention in class and they didn't understand the assignment. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that what these songs are saying is like, if you do the work, if you introspect, if you take accountability, and if you own who you are, then there will be light at the end of the tunnel. Mm. But if you're going to live in darkness, then there will always be darkness. Mm. So I think that's the takeaway from these two songs.
I mean, that's a local favorite.
That's a South African jam. so that's Kabelo, a song called Pansula for Life. I'm sure. I mean, he does say it 600,000 times in the song. So I mean, if you didn't know, that's what the song is called. You haven't been listening. Anyway, he was part of a band called TKZ in the 1990s, who were pioneers in the Kwaito world. And actually, I got to meet Zwaibala later on. I was like, I can't believe I'm actually meeting this guy, Zwaibala. He was one of my heroes. And I finally got to meet him one day. And I was like, he's such a nice guy in real life. And you know, people say you should never ever meet your heroes because they're going to disappoint me, disappoint you.
Yeah.
And sometimes they have. Yeah. But Zwai is definitely not one of those. He's such a nice guy and he's down to earth and his heart's in the right place and he really wants to uplift music in this country. But these guys met when they were in high school together at St. Stithians. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the dichotomy for me.
Yes.
The big dichotomy because the music sounds so township. So,
yeah.
But these guys had like the best education you can possibly think of, going to one of the top private schools in the country. Anyway, and then after a while, obviously with bands, as it goes, these guys went their separate ways and Kabelo decided that he was going to do his own solo project. And this was from his debut album called Everybody Watching. And the album went double platinum, 100,000 units, which is huge. And what I love about this song is it's almost like onomatopoeic, the way that the song sort of like replicates the Pansula style of dancing. Mm-hmm. So you can almost hear the dancing. So the dancing and the way you would dance is almost replicated in the sound of the music. But what I love about it is it's another message of hope because it's about this Kabelo almost saying that, you know, like if you just chilled and if you relax, like these Pansula dancers where you see them doing their thing and they're just like enjoying life, as joie de vivre, as the French like to say, you're just in it, you're enjoying the moment, that there's hope, just live your life like these Pansulas. And if you can be like a Pansula for life, then you're gonna have a very rosy life.
What do you think was the formula with them?
With Kabelo?
You spoke of TKZ before.
TKZ.
That whole group, what did you think was the formula?
So I think the formula, after interviewing Zwai and speaking to him and like interrogating the story of TKZ, is the fact that Zwai, who was the brains behind the operation, he is a classically trained musician. So he understands.
I think music runs in his in his blood.
Yes.
Yeah. In his bones, in everything. And he is
a personification.
Marrow.
Indeed. Yeah. And so he went from being in the Drakensberg Boys Choir, and from there he went to St. Stithians where he did music and actually got a scholarship to study at the Royal Academy of Music in the UK. And he went there and he studied for a period of time. But what he didn't realize is that in South Africa, what had happened is just prior to him leaving, he had put together this TKZ project and it had blown up and he didn't know because he was in the UK. And when he came back to visit, they were like, stuff is happening here. And he never went back. But he's a formally trained musician. So he understands, and you can, when you listen to TKZ, you can hear the sophistication of the music. So although it's like a township music, there's a lot of very sophisticated layering that's going into the music, and you can hear that Zwai and the guys were avid music lovers and listeners because they were pulling ideas from American music and from British music, and they were pulling it together into this product that was really streets ahead of like what any of the other quieter artists were doing. Most of the quieter artists did not know how to compose music. So they were doing songs that were given to them. Whereas at TKZ, they were creating their own music. Mm. And that's what differentiated them from other quieter artists.
Oh my goodness. But what a lovely song.
Beautiful. Hey.
Oh. Do you mind if we take a quick call?
Sure.
Dr. Selby, good evening and welcome.
Hi, Carmelo. How are you?
I'm well. How How are you, Dr. Selvi? It's nice to hear you.
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Excellent.
Musician guru, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
I told you they missed you.
I'm blessed beyond measure, Baba.
Thank you.
No, I'm so much grateful.
Yes, Dr. Selvi.
I learned a lot from this program.
Oh,
thank you very much.
About music. Oh. I learned a lot.
Oh.
There's so many things that I didn't know about music.
Yeah.
About artists. Oh. But now I see things, I start to see some other artists different than the way I saw them before.
Sure.
Because of your help.
Thank you. I'm glad I could offer that.
It's for you. This call is for you.
No, I'm waiting for next week, Thursday.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Selvi. Thanks. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you.
And
bye-bye.
You too. Stay blessed.
Bye-bye. You see?
See?
They missed you.
Wow.
They missed you. So this is something Soweto.
Yes.
What a talent.
Something Soweto.
Yeah,
so, so talented. And obviously someone who's got this humongous talent that he wants to express, because he first started off in the soil, and he comes from quite a hectic background. Which he's dyslexic, so it didn't work at school. Mm. He landed up dropping out of school in grade eight, and then got involved in drugs and got involved in a whole lot of stuff. Landed up in a reformatory, basically, and then was released at the age of about 15, and then reintegrated into school, and at that stage discovered this passion for music through choirs and whatever, and then he formed the Soil at school. Similar story to actually TKZ, but obviously in a slightly different setting. Forms the Soil, they become super successful, then forms another band called The Fridge, and they are relatively successful, and then decides that he's going to embark on his own solo career. So obviously someone who's prolific and wants to create and has a story to tell, releases three albums and then releases this song, which is basically a love letter to his daughter, basically saying what all the other songs that we've looked at today have said, which is everything's going to be okay. And I think when you're a parent living in the world that we're living in today, I think you need to tell your kids those stories, because it's a dark place. Mm. There's a lot of darkness in the world at the moment. And you don't want your children to get engulfed by that darkness. And I think this song, which is called Ama Gents, was basically this love letter to his daughter saying, you know what, although things seem bleak, it's going to be okay. Mm. It's going to be fine. Mm. And the song before that was AKA with Burna Boy, JR, and Deleuze. And the song's quite interesting because it brings us back to the whole United Nations thing.
Mm-hmm.
So JR was very famous for a song called Show Them, Make the Circle Bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And then seems to have gone more into like a production songwriting kind of role within the music industry. And this song was produced by a guy called Tweezy.
Mm-hmm.
And Tweezy sent the beats to AKA. And AKA was like, oh, I really like this. Sends the stuff to JR and says, do you think you can write a chorus? And JR is like, I think what would sound really cool here would be like a Jamaican kind of sound.
Mm.
And actually, I've just worked with someone in Ghana. And through this guy in Ghana, I've met this up-and-coming artist from Nigeria who I think would be the perfect fit for the song. Mm. And that was Burna Boy. Mm. And so what people often forget is that music is a catalyst that can unite nations and that can bring. And here you've got three, South Africa, Ghana, and Nigeria. And how it can be used to coalesce talents from different places in the world and unite sounds. Mm. And this song is essentially a unification song, a song about uniting people together under one banner. And I thought that was an interesting spin on like song creation, creativity, and people sharing ideas with each other. And AKA just was a phenomenal talent that left us way too soon.
Way, way, way too soon. Sheldon, it's been so wonderful having you.
Thank you,
Pamela. See you soon. Before I leave, I do have to just remind everybody of those details that I promised I will shout out again. So these are the numbers for the Premier's office. 0800 228 827. 0800 228 827. And the email is support@gauteng.gov.za. If you're struggling to get some sort of a response, shout out to us, give us a ring. Tando will be here during our show, and then we'll take your details and then we'll forward it ourselves. But it's been absolutely wonderful. It's been a great week, everybody. We'll be back on Monday at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.